Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to hear you, to open our hearts to you, to receive your love, to hear your hope. Amen.
It's lovely to be with you this morning. Paul asked a few of us if we'd look after January for him, and so this is ages ago. A bit unexpected to be among you today, though, with the change that has suddenly arrived. Change does suddenly arrive from time to time and leaves us, a bit shaken, I think. And that's one of the reasons I prayed as I did as we began. For in the midst of change, in the midst of everything that is going on in your hearts, God is the one who comes with comfort and answers and hope. And it's lovely that this Sunday we are celebrating Epiphany. New Year sort of gets in the way for us, of course, and being on holidays gets in the way. But Christmas and Epiphany belong together. And it's lovely to have the Christmas thing still here and the wise men having arrived at last. The Magi, they're here. And sometimes in parishes we have this argument about, you have to have the wise men there. No, they're not here yet. But they are, they're not quite today. Wednesday they do, but today we celebrate Epiphany. Love that Old Testament reading. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the connection to what happened with the shepherds, the lowest of the low in that society, at the birth of Jesus. Not just one great strapping angel with a peculiar message for them, but the glory of the Lord shining all around them. I've preached on that passage probably about 50 times. And a couple of years ago, I noticed for the first time what that implied. Messenger angel, the glory of the Lord shining around them, the visible presence of God. That's what the glory of the Lord is. And then the whole host of heaven worshipping. God arrived on earth when Jesus was born in two ways. Both the incarnate one, but his very presence came and visited those lowest of the low and poorest of the poor. And I hope you were paying attention to the psalm as well about God's favor to the poor. The God who heals the brokenhearted. The God who comes to set free and to change things. The one who in Jesus opens a way for us to come to him and, as the song of Zechariah says, to worship him without fear. Epiphany and the whole season of Epiphany is about encounter with the God who loves us. And wonderful hymn to welcome the gospel. That great, great love of Jesus for us. But what happens when the glory of the Lord shines all around us? What happens when God comes and says, rise, shine, I'm here? And those three, the Magi, the seekers after God, arriving in Jerusalem and saying, where's the king? Herod goes, excuse me, I'm the king. Oh, yes, but there's a new king being born. No. And he was frightened. I like that translation. He was frightened and, yep, trouble. He was frightened, and when the king is frightened, especially a king of his kind, the people around him were frightened too. The shepherds were frightened. I suspect Mary and Joseph had a good bit of fear tumbling around in their hearts too. What does this mean? Gold and frankincense and myrrh, strangers coming, worshipping this little squidgy baby. Don't believe away in the manger, by the way. Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. No, 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 no. God's coming, God's light shining, God's presence among us does engender in us some fear. Because when he comes, things change. Some of the people who were afraid in Jerusalem when the Magi arrived were the religious leaders, and they stayed being afraid right through Jesus' ministry. They were afraid of John the Baptist. They were afraid of Jesus. We get afraid too when our nice, comfortable religious boat gets rocked. We don't like it, really, when God comes. Because he comes with a call to us to change along with him, to walk with him and to go with him, and worst, to trust him. Now, our whole society, it's certainly true of me, and I think it's true of most of us, we are wired to look after ourselves, are we not? Yes. And to be in control. I love it when young ones get married and they discover this first discovery that they're not in control when they either want to have a baby and can't, or don't want to have a baby and do. And then they have the baby, or not. And that discovery that the lie our society tells us, that we are in control. I love it. I've spent the whole of my life unlearning what was rewarded to me from infancy. Self-reliance, self-sufficiency. Guess what? That's a breach of the first commandment. We are not God. He is in control. And trouble and change and anxiety and fear invites us into letting him have that control. Some of you will have had a rough year last year, personally or spiritually or in sort of different ways. Some of you might have had a great year. I had a rough year last year, and guess what God was doing with me? Saying, Jill, I'm in control. Oh, and stop fighting for yourself. I'm fighting for you. Oh. And when I gave in, lovely, to just let go and let him do what it is that he's doing. And I believe he's calling the whole church to that surrender to what he is wanting to do among us. Not just here, but all over the place. I don't believe that God sends the trouble, but oh gosh, he uses it. And what he's wanting to do is call out of us a response of trust, even in the midst of distrust, even when we have learned not to trust. He's saying, yeah, well, I want you to unlearn that. And I'm not going to expect it to happen overnight, because God is so kind and he knows us so well. But he's asking for us, first of all, to trust him. That entails, I'm afraid, sorry about this, but it entails trusting one another as well. And that's very risky because, of course, we let each other down. And so our trust, you know, it's always tinged with a little bit of caution and distrust. But God, always in the midst of whatever is happening with us, but God. The other thing that I think in our society we are wired for, and it goes with control and self-reliance and self-sufficiency, is we find it hard to bow down. We actually find it hard to worship even God. And we're not really sure of God. We, in our fear, we've kept him a bit at a distance. Because if he comes close, what will he want of us? And what does worship entail? with, where are they? There they are. These three. They're bowed down. And they're bowed down in a very peculiar situation where it doesn't look like this is something that you would worship. And they bring their gifts and they lay them at Jesus' feet. Some years ago, I was traveling, and usually when I travel long ways, you know what it's like to travel a long way. You need some good books to read. And I decided that it was time that I learned a bit about Islam. And so I bought a book on Islam, and I intentionally bought one that was positive towards Islam to start, you know, to start that journey there. Now, Islam means submission. The writer of this particular book translated that as surrender. Now, this was probably 2005, I think. Well, as I was reading that, something deep within me started to shout and say, no way. Story, our stories, which cause us to be afraid of surrender to God. So this wasn't about Islam. This was about my God. And I believe that God heard my yell of fear and no as a prayer, which he answered. For me now, it is an abundant joy to surrender. I don't argue with God anymore. Once I'm nearly sure that I've got what he wants, that I know what's going on, the answer is yes. So I'm going to Uganda next week. Huh. What? But that yes is so exciting and so liberating. The thing that I was withdrawing from was the fact that God loved me and was calling to me. Because intimacy was a really scary thing for me, and I didn't want to go there. You get hurt when you go there. But not when we respond to the God who loves us, who seeks us and calls us and comes to us. The extraordinary miracle of Jesus, God coming among us to make it possible for us to come to him. And I love the way Paul, the passage we read from Ephesians, that way made into the presence of God. We are invited in. And in the presence of God, things change. Our perspective changes. How we see each other, how we see the world, changes. There's a lovely psalm, I think. I'm not sure which one it is. There's a test, you'll have to go and find it. The psalmist is having, it might be Psalm 73. Psalmist is having a great old complaint about the wicked and how it's not fair, because here's he spending his life worshipping God and he doesn't get the good stuff. The bad guys get the good stuff. It's not fair. And then he says, then I came into the sanctuary. And in the presence of God, he saw from God's perspective. So in this season of Epiphany, in this month where our society shuts down, in this month as we read from the scriptures about encounter with God, I believe that he's asking each one of us to open our hearts and to receive the hope that he has for us. That word, arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Amen.